When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time for a quick take. Last night's Anthony Edwards hit his head on the rim, making a game-saving block against the Indiana Pacers, while Aaron Gordon hammered home a vicious put-back dunk against the Celtics. Shanae, which one are you most excited to talk about?
Absolutely, the block. I mean, he had pogo sticks, trampoline in his legs. He said after, "I don't think I've ever, you know, jumped this high in my life." And the crazy thing is that maybe the next best play happened this season when he threw it off the backboard and went and finished it. So Ant has given us two out of maybe the top three plays so far in the NBA season, even though that dunk right there, I mean, this is a guy that should have been a slam dunk contest champ.
Yes.
Sensational plays on both ends, but I got to give the edge to Ant Edwards.
What about you, Wendy?
It's not even the most important play that Aaron Gordon made in the fourth quarter of that game. That was on the lob that he finished. It was obviously extremely impressive, but that was on the lob that he finished in the last minute that iced the game. Ant Edwards makes the, I think, one of the most impressive plays I've seen in years. So, look, nothing to take away from Aaron Gordon. He was great, especially late, but this is Ant Edwards' day to shine and celebrate that play.
No doubt about it. Moving on, Nikola Jokic recorded his 20th triple-double of the season, leading the Nuggets to a 115-109 win over the Boston Celtics in Denver and a sweep of the season series against Boston. Charles Barkley was asked about the possibility of Boston not winning the title this season. Here's what he had to say.
If they don't win a championship this year, it would be a total gag job because they got everything.
You know, before I ask y'all a question, you know, it is International Women's Day, and I'm not sitting here. Molly's on vacation. But since I am sitting in Molly's chair, Brianna, could you come over here, please? I mean, I just wanted to give a little tribute to Molly right here. I mean, could you just dabble me right there? This is what
Molly does. Oh,
when
no.
When she's in the chair, whatever. That's a, right there, please, right there.
Take Stephen A. What?
That's what
come
I'm saying.
Come on, man. Listen,
I had to do that for Molly. I had to do that. I'm in Molly's chair.
Are you going to tell people the rules of first?
Not to the ladies. Not to the ladies. This doesn't apply to the ladies. Now, Wendy knows, as a man, you speak when you're spoken to, okay? No cussing. Address me as Stephen A. or Mr. Stephen A. Don't ever, ever badmouth the producers. That would be including me because I'm the executive producer. And, of course, no rude reactions, okay? Let's just get that out of the way. Thank you, Brianna. Thank you for taking care of me so much because every time Molly's in this chair, she gets dabbed up every commercial break. So I felt that in the spirit of Mollywood, I needed to do the same, all right? Today, let's get back to Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. Did they prove they're the best team in the NBA?
The Denver Nuggets have always been, in my opinion, when you tip off the ball, the best team in the NBA. Now, I know the Celtics have the best record, but they're trying to do something that they haven't done in a while. They're trying to bring home Banner 18, so they're doing everything necessary to put themselves in the best position, which is why the game versus the Nuggets was a letdown, because we wanted to say Jason Tatum could take the next step. We wanted to say that, hey, they're going to be one of the hardest places to play because they have one of, if not the best record at home. They're doing a lot of the things that help you improve, except showing up in the biggest moments. Now, I saw some bright spots for the Celtics. I loved Drew Holiday. We got a little bit of his 2021 championship form, knocking down threes, being that clutch player late. I like Porzingis being able to stretch the floor. He's got to help that efficiency a little bit. I think it was like 9 for 23 or something from the field with 23 points. Those are good boosts. But at the end of the day, it's that guy right there, Nikola Jokic. They have the best player on the floor with the best supporting cast that is tailored to his needs. I mean, watching the game, Jokic can get it from the perimeter. He'll get into on-ball actions. He'll find someone open. And then you go to inside the paint. I mean, right there, he's backing people down. And just when you feel like, okay, I'm going to send help, he'll throw a lob, as you see there, to Aaron Gordon, who had 16 really crucial baskets. Or he'll just finish, you know, with the right hand or the left. He can't be stopped on the inside. He can't stop finding his teammates. Like, this is a team that is the best in the NBA. The Denver Nuggets, even though the Celtics are doing, I would say, 99% of everything to put themselves in the position to rival them, right now it's the Nuggets.
Wendy, I have no doubt that you probably feel the same way knowing you. Who's the team you give the best chance to beat Denver at this point? Because clearly after beating the best team in the NBA, supposedly, which is the Boston Celtics, sweeping them in this series, we've got to look at the Denver Nuggets as the favorites. Who do you see as the biggest threat to them?
I think it's definitely Boston. I think at full power, Minnesota is interesting. I don't think that they have quite enough. I would like to see that series with Karl Towns healthy. I don't know if we'll get it. I do think Boston, and there's a couple of reasons. One, Boston, I believe, is going to end up having home court advantage against anybody in the West. They've got a 6-game lead over Denver right now, even though Denver has the tiebreak now. I don't think they're going to lose that lead. So Denver is almost unbeatable at home. They did lose at home earlier this week to Phoenix in overtime, but they're very hard to beat at home. They were untouchable at home in the playoffs last year, other than when Miami got them in the one game in the finals. So a series in this matchup would start in Boston. And on the road, Denver is just a little bit less potent. Now, they stress you out so much defensively. The other thing is Jokic, and this is a feather in his MVP case. Jokic called on his team at the All-Star break. I think he sent a group-wide text message, and my guess is he's not that active on the group text on the team, but I don't know for sure. But my guess is he's not that active. He sent a group message basically imploring his team, let's get it going. And they've been almost untouchable since they came back from the break. And I kind of think that would start to show up in road games. But I do think that you have a little bit of an edge on them if you can get with a home court advantage. And Boston would have that. Stephen A., if this was a 7-game series and last night was game one, okay, I would still like Boston's chances, because I think that there are some matchup things that they found. They used Drew Holiday as a defender on Jokic in the fourth quarter, and they had a little bit of success. They were able to get some stops. They used Porzingis. They brought some double teams. They were very effective in limiting the Nuggets from three-point range. Also, the Nuggets bench played better than they usually do. I feel like this would be a 6 or 7-game series, and if you had home court, maybe you get them.
Wendy, I can't believe I have to say this to you because I love you, dear. You know that. Don't ever take that long again on International Women's Day. I mean, you're taking time away from Janae. You understand what I'm saying? Janae, go ahead. Wendy went on about a minute or two too long, Wendy. Let's reel it back. Go ahead, Janae. Go ahead.
Look, I agree with you that Boston probably has the best home court in the NBA, based off what we've seen this season. We've seen, I mean, we're coming off of not too long ago. I know people remember the Cavs and people remember the Nuggets, but I know people should remember also the Golden State Warriors. Yes, the Warriors are not the Warriors of three or two even so years ago, but still, they have a very potent home court, which you're right, that could be the equalizer. But what I will say is this, the Nuggets have wins twice against Boston, OKC, they've beaten the Clippers, and you're looking at, when they show up in those games, how do they handle it? They've handled the Celtics twice. Now, maybe, and I learned this from Becky Hammon yesterday, we asked the question, when you're going into an NBA Finals, you know, matchup, she says that coaches don't really necessarily show all of their cards. Maybe that's what's happening with the Celtics. They're experimenting. They're exploring what's the best way for us to defend Jokic. And maybe sometimes those plays resulted in Jokic scoring or Jokic finding Gordon, which we found quite a bit down the stretch. And maybe they're not putting so much emphasis on this one loss, and they're trying to find ways to win when it matters most. But still, when I see the head-to-heads, you just see a Jokic that's able to slice and dice them just comfortably, whether that was in Boston not too long ago or at home in Denver, where their home court is just as, or if not maybe a little bit based off of this year, a little less.
A couple of quick comments before I get on out of here. Number one, Nuggets 2-0 against the Celtics, but 4-9 against the other top four seeds in either conference. I don't understand that. I'm wondering about that, number one. Number two, if Jason Tatum shows up and plays the way we know he can play, I don't think anybody's beating the Boston Celtics. Last point, Becky Hammon, you brought her up. First of all, she does a phenomenal job with y'all on TV. And secondly, on International Women's Day, I think it's only fair to say, if there is a woman who will be a head coach in the NBA someday, it will be her. I thought that I needed to say that.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's a special moment for America, but damn it, it's a special moment for me. I love this woman. She holds a special, special place in my heart, Janae, okay? It's great to be joined now by WNBA champion and superstar, the one and only Asia Wilson of the Las Vegas Aces. What's going on? How are you, Asia? How's everything?
What's up? I need you to say two-time there. Don't rock me up my champion. But no, I'm doing well. I'm happy to be here with you guys.
The pleasure is all mine, and of course, Janae as well. Listen, let's get right to it because I want to make sure I value every second that we have you here. The Aces have become the first team in WNBA history to sell out their season tickets. Asia, what does that say to you? What does that mean to you?
I mean, it's very powerful. Considering my rookie year, we didn't even make the playoffs, and we were building a fan base. To now, we're selling out our season ticket holders, and people want to come to see us play. We are great entertainment in the lines of entertainment that you have in Vegas, and I'm so excited to be a part of that fan base. They've watched me grow. They watched all of us grow, and I mean, winning and hanging some banners, it kind of helps out a lot, but no, they've been ride or die for us from the jump, and I can greatly appreciate them for that.
You know what, Asia, that says to me that you are where the money resides. And before I get to my question, okay, I want to give you your flowers because it is International Women's Day. And I think that especially given the popularity of the college game, and we all know that this is projected to be one of the best draft classes that we've seen in a long time in the WNBA, we talk a lot about, you know, the future face of the W and the transcendent powers coming up. But you are the current face. You are a two-time champ, and you are a two-time MVP, and people need to put respect on that. Okay, so that was my first prelude. But I was fortunate to have a front row seat, you know, calling your finals run. And it was just a significant moment where you guys lose Chelsea Gray, and then you just go crazy in game four and win. So I want to know, what was the most memorable moment in this journey to becoming a two-time champion back-to-back?
Ooh, it would have to be when we did lose our two starters, and it was a moment where we could have folded. We could have just been like, you know what, guys, let's just go out there and try our best. But no, we had a moment in New York. We went up to a room and we just played games. We just was in the cold tub. We did recovery, and we really came together as a team because we knew everything that was in that room was what we needed in order to win. So we weren't going to be shaken by a lot of different things, but we had fun. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, a lot of pressure was on us, but we were just like, we have enough in this room to take care of business. Let's go do it. And I think that's what you saw in game four, that we came out there and we played with each other and had fun. And Becky obviously is a magician with the clipboard. So that part was easy for her.
You know, Asia, I look at you all and I marvel at what I'm seeing because the greatness is undeniable. You're on the verge of three-peating, for crying out loud. You can go for a three-peat like the Kansas City Chiefs can go for a three-peat. But it's having that mantle and it's having that pressure on your shoulders, in my estimation, not just to perform, but to uplift the league because the popularity of the WNBA is ascending. I want to know how much of that is in your mind's eye, along with your contemporaries in your estimation. How much do you all think about that as you go out and perform, recognizing the popularity popularity of the sport and you all as personalities growing and growing each day. Do you wear that? How much do you think about it as you perform?
I mean, I feel like I don't really think about it as much as I perform because I know exactly what I do and how I can take care of business on the court. And that's entertainment in itself. That's what people want to come and watch is great basketball. So as a team, we just kind of make sure that we're putting our best foot forward. And the luxury of being the aces is you're going to get everybody's best game. So the game's going to be good. So whatever you're watching, it's a lot of hard work and dedication. But I feel like we don't put that pressure on ourselves to kind of just the game is in our hands. It's only on us. No, it's on everybody. And we're doing things day to day to make sure that our game is shown in a great positive light because we work hard to get to this point. But we love to have some fun. I think that's the biggest thing with the Aces is we're going to show our personalities. We're going to have a lot of fun because that's the sisterhood and the culture that we build. And if you like it, great. If you hate it, I'm sorry you're missing out.
Oh, absolutely. And you talked about the culture that the Aces have built. That's largely Becky Hammon. But you come from South Carolina. You have played for Coach Don Staley, and they're having a remarkable season. By the way, y'all, they're the only team, men's or women's, that is undefeated at this point. They lost all five starters, and now they're number one heading into March. What have you liked from your Gamecocks?
Just their discipline. I think they're just very disciplined in what they want to do and their will to win. Like any time that you're in these moments where teams, you pull away from games, you can kind of check out. But I feel like for them, they're just so bought into just winning and being a good player of Coach Staley, a product of Coach Staley. She's going to make you run through a brick wall for her because of so much that she's given to the game. And even she's pouring so much into you. So you're like, oh my gosh, I have to go out here and win and play for her. So this team is probably the most disciplined team she's probably had. I thought last year's team was. But this is definitely a top three disciplined team.
You saying your team wasn't disciplined, Asia?
You telling on yourself, Asia? You telling on yourself?
I can be honest here.
Listen, let me throw this out. And I'm sure Janae will appreciate this question I'm about to ask you, Asia. I said this the other day. Everybody was talking about, listen, the Mokies of the world, obviously, Gina Auriemma's of the world and others, the late, great Pat Summitt, God rest her soul. I'm looking at Dawn Staley, back-to-back undefeated regular seasons, 65-1 over the last 2 years, 103 over the last 3 years. Now, Asia, you play for Dawn Staley. Now we're talking about Becky Hammon. I mean, the two great coaches. Could you compare them a little bit? Not asking which one is better than the other. It's not where I'm going. What makes them so great? Because they win.
They do. I feel like if they've been in these situations, like they're just so relatable. They're players, coaches. They just give so much to us. And it's like, I'm going to make sure that we win every game because you put that much like light and joy into me to love the game all over again. And I'm so appreciative to be able to be coached by two great Hall of Famers. It's been incredible just to win with them because they just, what they instill in us, the culture that they bring, the culture that they want us to build, they just give us the blueprint. They know they have the product and it's like, y'all go ahead and do it. But the blueprint that they lay down, the foundation that they lay down, you're so bought into that you're like, we have to win. And I love that. And they like to have fun. Like Becky's always dancing. Coach Staley's always dancing. So like, they just like to have fun with the game. And that's what I love the most about it.
Oh, let me find out Becky's dancing because I'm seeing her today on NBA Today and NBA. Oh, she got a little. You're right. She got a little. What is it like?
She's like the tootsie roll for sure.
Now, Asia, I want to switch over to the WNBA a little bit because I think the W just announced that this will be the first time since 2016 that the WNBA draft will be open for fans. Your number one pick, a projected number one over pick, is clearly Caitlin Clark. What impact do you think she'll make at the next level?
I mean, I think her impact's going to speak for itself. The things that she's done in the collegiate level, I pray that people follow her to the W. I mean, that's how we continue to grow the game. But I think she's going to a franchise that's really going to build around her. I hope that they put a lot of pieces around her, continue to put pieces around her to help her flourish, but the team as well. But it's going to be a lot of fun having her in the league. I mean, I would speak on our draft picks, but I don't know what kind of draft picks we got. But at the same time, it's going to be tons of fun just to kind of have finally, I think this is the moment everyone's been waiting on. And I just pray that she continues to be her and don't lose sight of that. Cause I think you kind of lose sight of that when there's a lot of pressure on the outside. So hope within she's good to have fun into the league and don't lose herself in it. I felt like I lost myself in it. So I hope from one draft pick to another, just don't lose yourself in the process, but enjoy it.
I'm sure both of y'all are going to appreciate my next question. Cause I want to get to Dear Black Girl. That's the title of your book.
New York Times bestseller.
The New York Times bestseller book. And I like that photo, too, right there, Deasia. I like that photo right there. let me tell y'all something. You're listening to a man right now who is the youngest of six. I have four older sisters. I want to know, Deasia, writing this book, why was this such an important project for you, and what was your goal in writing the book?
Yeah, I think it's a book that needed to be for Black women to let them know that they're heard, that they're seen, because we don't get that every single day. We don't get those boosts of confidence every single day when we look at commercials or look at a magazine. So I wanted the book to be that. I wanted the book to show people, like, yes, it's Dear Black Girls, but it's really a book for everyone. And I had tons of fun writing it for everyone. But I think people that look like me kind of need that extra oomph, that okay, like, I see you, girl. Let's push through this together. And yes, we go through struggles, we go through highs and lows, but we show up every day and be the best person that we can be. And just also tapping into the mental health aspect of it, that we don't always have those days where we can show up and be the perfect woman for everybody, and that's okay. So I had a lot of fun writing it, let alone reading it for my audiobook, and I hope everyone can enjoy it as much as I did writing it.
And one thing that I've loved about you promoting the book, Dear Black Girls, not only was your fashion girl, it was that Sergio Hudson pink crop top. I think it was on The View that I was like, I need that. I need the Sergio Hudson plug. But also, I love that on all of your stops, you brought out legends. What is one memorable moment you've had in Dear Black Girls talking to people that have come out to support you?
Oh, man, it would just have to be the conversation with Coop, Cynthia Cooper, like just sitting down and seeing her point of view of the league and now my point of view of the league, and us having conversations of how could we continue to push the needle, and her just telling me stories about how she was just a dog and just having to go out there and just do it. And I think that really speaks volumes on the league that we are in today. Like, you can be great, but you still got to have that dog in you. You still have to be like, no, I am great. Like, anyone can tell you, oh, they can hype you up, but if you don't feel it from within, it's doing nothing. It's no service at all to anyone. So just always having that dog in you, competing at a high level, because our league is elite. Like, our league is tough. So any day they smell blood, we gonna try to pick you apart, and we expose people. So having conversations like that with her, I'm like, oh yeah, this league is, we got some dogs in this league.
Deasia Wilson, first of all, I'm so proud of you. Congratulations on all your success as a champion, as an athlete. But you're an incredible role model. You do so many great things. I think this book is obviously very, very special. I love the fact that I'm sitting here on the air with you and Janae, two ladies that I admire the hell out of. So I want to thank you so much for all that you've been doing. And I want to point out that you all, the marketability is really, really elevating. People like you, not just for yourself, you, Caitlin Clark, on the way, various members of your contemporaries, y'all all going to help each other. Listen, a rising tide lifts all boats, and everybody's going to get paid. Everybody's going to enjoy a level of success because y'all are commodities that folks can rely upon to promote and market, and that's going to help uplift the sport as well, and you got a lot to do with that. So congratulations with all that you've been doing. Keep doing your thing, and I'm definitely going to check out the book as well. So thank you so much for joining the show. The one and only Deasia Wilson for the Las Vegas Aces here with yours truly and Shanae Ogumike.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
There's been a lot of conversation about the Cowboys culture this week, and a lot of folks have weighed in. Former Cowboys tight end Dalton Schultz, now with the Houston Texans, spoke Wednesday on the Pat McAfee Show about the atmosphere in Dallas. Take a listen.
Literally, it's a zoo, dude. There's people tapping on the glass, like trying to get people's attention as they're doing, you know, power cleans or whatnot. And it's just, it's different. And I mean, that's the brand that they've built. That's, you know, that's what Jerry Jones likes. That's the way that they run things. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, you don't realize like how many, you know, eyeballs and how much that can maybe, you know, distract from, you know, stuff just in the locker room, being in the facility, until you go somewhere else and you're like, holy crap, like, dude, there's none of that.
K-Mart and Sam, y'all saw it right there. They're back with us right now. Sam, are these comments a bad look for the Dallas Cowboys? Let's get right into it.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad look at all. I think Jerry Jones is just playing a different game, and we're not playing that game. He's playing the money game, and Jerry Jones is playing the money game, and he's winning the money game. Why do I say that? Last year, it's a great game to play. The Cowboys are worth
$9 billion. Over $9
billion. $9 billion. That's a 13% increase over last year. While Kansas City Chiefs were winning Super Bowls, the Dallas Cowboys were increasing their value, right? Second place team is a $7 billion team in the New England Patriots. And so, yes, the Cowboys, it could say it's a bad look for winning purposes, but he's winning a different game.
Go ahead, Kimberly.
To me, I think it's a bad look only because we consistently talk about the Cowboys beyond winning. And are we in the business of winning championships? Are we trying to win the marketing? Like, I get it. Jerry is a successful businessman. But Jerry also says, oh, man, I need a Super Bowl. I, you know, like, he's so focused on that. And yet they consistently fall short. And I think that's what's so frustrating about the Cowboys. If you know, yesterday I had this conversation with Damian Woody, and he said, you know what? Talk to me about football. All right, well, D. Wood's not here, so I'm going to talk to him at home right now. D. Wood, if it's about football, the only football move we've really seen from the Cowboys this year is keeping a head coach that a lot of people thought they should have moved on from. So when you've got, you know, you got quotes from former players who have been in that building talking about it's a zoo, on top of a brother and a mother, talking about the quarterback, it's just a lot of things that we're talking about the Cowboys and the culture, and it has nothing. They don't win enough. And that's why, to me, it's not a great look. I don't like it. It's not the end of the world. It's not the reason. The zoo is not the reason they lose games on the football field. It's just another thing that has nothing to do with them winning.
Well, first of all, Sam, this is International Women's Day. You don't have to laugh. You have to look, have that look on your face laughing at Kimberly because you disagree with her. I have to come to her defense. In that regard, right there, I think we need to modify that a little bit. But secondly, Sam, before I come back to you, my brother, you know I'm messing with you. Before I come back to you with this, let me throw this by you, because far be it for me to sit before the both of you and not have a couple of stats throw out to you to sort of augment Dalton Schultz's point. Sam, did you know that in Texas, in the Houston Texans inaugural season of 2002, did you know that they stunned the Cowboys in their debut game? Do you remember that? Did you remember that? I didn't remember that. But
I didn't know that. I don't remember that.
In 2002, first victory, they beat the Cowboys. Okay, that's number one. Number two, they have as many division titles as Dallas with 7. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, did you know
didn't know that?
Did you know that? Did you know this last part? They have more playoff wins than the Cowboys. Since 2002, the Texans have 5 playoff victories. The Cowboys have 4. You know what I'm saying? I just thought I'd throw that out to y'all. I mean, it's just a stat that I thought it was necessary and I was obligated to point out there. I mean, when I throw that out at you, Sam Macho, do you still disagree with K-Mart, Kimberly Martin, when she says it's just not a good look? Because the level of productivity clearly is not commensurate with the high.
Stephen A., you're actually all those stats, I so appreciate it, because each one of those stats prove my point. The point is not about winning championships. The point is about creating value for the team. Notice what Dalton Schultz says at the end. He said, hey, it's not bad. It's what Jerry Jones likes. What is he like? He likes the fact that this year they had $1.14 billion in revenue this year, $504 million in net operating expense this year, like or net operating income, excuse me. So the point is not about winning Super Bowls. I mean, he's playing a different game. Only one person can win, right? And that's what that so far the last couple years has been Kansas City. But what does Jerry Jones do? What do the Cowboys do? What do they like? They want to bring in the money, the bread, the dough. And so, yes, you can have the appearance that you want to win. You can talk about all these moves and changes, but all that is talk. What we're seeing is actual result that Jerry Jones wants is increasing his value, his team's value, and his team's brand. There's no doubt about this is who he's been. Like, this is who Jerry Jones has been. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Show up to Super Bowl. You see him pull up in his the big old Cowboys van, right? Like, that's how he pulls up to the owner's party at Super Bowl. That's who he is. So let's not think that it's about winning Super Bowls and championships so we talk about it. No, that talk leads to more money.
It's Kimberly's turn.
So I think that, Sam, to your point, you're like, let's not get it twisted. It's about making money. But this is a football team, right? Making money is good. We all want to make a little money. But when you're talking about championships, the other part about what Dalton Schultz said in that interview was he was talking about how he had to come back to the Texans. You know why? Because his quarterback. He was like, that guy makes everything so much better. And I think when you compare that to the Cowboys and how they're it's a lot of things that just are not good enough in Dallas. So, yes, they make a lot of money.
Right.
Are we trying to win chips or what?
It's all about making money, right? And the way we make money on this show is by paying bills. We pay bills by going to commercial, which means we got to go so I don't have time to teach you about your fingernails, okay? We got to go.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
We're only a day away from a loaded UFC 299 card headlined by Sean Sugar O'Malley. The UFC's bantamweight champion will be defending his title against Marlon Chito Vera, the only man who beat O'Malley during his 19-fight career. Let's welcome in former UFC champion and current analyst extraordinaire himself, the one and only DC, Daniel Cormier. What's going on, big time? How are you, man? How's everything?
I'm good, Stephen A., man. Thank you for having me on the show.
Man, please, the pleasure's all mine. You just watched O'Malley versus Vera weigh-in. What stood out to you about both fighters?
You know, Sean O'Malley was one of the first on the scale as he gets set to defend his championship for the first time. And Chito Vera seemed to have had a very hard weight cut. So they have this big black curtain thing that people weigh in behind whenever they got to strip all the way down. Chito Vera did that. While Sean O'Malley showed up with his sunglasses on and everything, fully dressed, and got on the scale very early. So, to me, watching that, seeing how difficult a weight cut it was for Chito, while it seemed relatively easy for Sean O'Malley, is what stood out to me.
Educate us about what happened when they last fought one another. This is the only blemish on Sean O'Malley's career. What happened in that fight exactly? Educate our viewers.
You know, so we were fighting on the same night. It was the last fight that I ever had was on the same night. So I'm in the back watching. Sean O'Malley starts the fight and he's fighting pretty well, but Chito Vera starts to land leg kicks. They're kind of trading them. He hurts some nerve in the leg of Sean O'Malley. So eventually the nerve gave out and Sean O'Malley could not continue. But in that time, once he had the leg hurt, he was able to land some really good shots. So while Sean O'Malley does say it's a fluke, Chito Vera was the one that landed the strikes that ultimately started to damage the legs of Sugar Sean.
You know what, Sean O'Malley, you know, he showed up on First Take earlier this week and was claiming it wasn't a legitimate loss and what have you. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, okay, all right. But I'm still wondering what will be different for him in this particular rematch. When you look at when Chito Vera, where he is now at this point in time in his career, where Sean O'Malley is at this particular moment in time, what do you think will be different in this fight?
championship mindset, also the ability to go and become the champ, and the confidence, Stephen A., that comes with holding that championship belt. Sean O'Malley is not a guy that lacks confidence ever. You saw the jacket he wore at the press conference yesterday, the bright hair, the colorful personality. But now he has that 13 pounds of gold to match that. And I believe that confidence and his ability to take that into the octagon will be one of the bigger things for him trying to gain a victory. And also the knowledge that he gained in the octagon that night. Because while the fight did not last long, in the time that they did fight, Sean O'Malley was finding success.
Another big matchup will take place in the lightweight division when Dustin Poirier faces off against Benoit Saint. I want to make sure I have his name pronounced correctly. Saint Denis.
Yes,
that's
yes.
They got that fight coming up. What do you make of that fight,
Stephen A.? You know what's the best thing about Benoit's name? You sound fancy when you say it. Benoit Saint Denis. You know, he got us all feeling real fancy right now. After we say his name.
Right.
But him and Dustin Poirier is going to be a fantastic fight. Dustin Poirier is the number 3 ranked guy in the world. Benoit is all the way down at 12. Right now, we have a bit of a changing of the guard opportunity at lightweight. The best guys that we have known for a long time, the Oliveras, the Poiriers, the Chandlers, are fighting some of the lower-ranked guys, and right now, this is another opportunity. This one is 5 rounds, Stephen A., in a co-main event, which does not happen very often. And this one is going to be explosive. I can guarantee you that this fight is going to deliver.
Let me transition to the sport of boxing, because you know a thing or two about it yourself. And it's boxing news that was made this week. It was announced that former heavyweight champion of the world, Mike Tyson, will fight Jake Paul in an exhibition match in July. How interested are you in seeing the 57-year-old Mike Tyson fight the 27-year-old Jake Paul?
Stephen A., I can hear it in the way you asked the question. I'm going to tell you something, man. I love that Mike going to make his money. I really do love that Mike is going to make his money. But to me, it's some baby back BS, man. You got Jake Paul, who just fought some dude last weekend, was a minus 2,500 underdog to Jake Paul. It doesn't happen like that. This guy speaks of building himself as a true fighter. Him fighting a 57-year-old Mike Tyson doesn't do that. I don't love that, outside of the fact that Mike gets to make some money. Jake seems to be going backwards, and I'm not a Jake Paul hater. I just don't like the matchup, and I also love Mike Tyson, but I also sat there with my broadcast partners, John Anik and Joe Rogan, and we watched Mike last year walk into a UFC event walking on a cane, Stephen A. And now you're telling me that this man, less than a year after, is going to fight? He walked in with a cane, Stephen A.
Oh,
and I love Mike. He walked in with a cane, Stephen A. And now you're going to fight Jake Paul? What are we doing?
Well, really, we know what Mike Tyson's doing. What's Jake Paul doing? If you saw him walk into the arena with a cane, Jake knew about it. I can tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
DC, appreciate you, my brother, as always, my man. Keep doing the great work. Joe Rogan, John Anik, and the whole team, the UFC team, keep doing a great job that y'all have been doing. UFC 299 on ESPN Plus pay-per-view Saturday. DC, thanks again, as always, my brother. You take it easy.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Luka Doncic became the first player in NBA history to record 4 straight 35-point triple-doubles last night, tallying 35 points, 11 boards, and 11 assists in the Mavs' 114-108 win over the Heat. The win snapped a 3-game skid for Dallas. Meanwhile, Anthony Edwards put on an absolute show against the Indiana Pacers, hitting his head on the rim with this game-saving block while also dropping 44 points in the T-Wolves' two-point win. Luka Doncic said he feels like he's better than both Edwards and OKC's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Malika Andrews asked SGA about those very comments from Luka.
Anthony Edwards, he was asked recently in an interview with my colleague Stephen A. Smith about the next generation, you, Luka. And he said, I'm better than both those guys.
I expected him to say that. I wouldn't expect him to say one of us is better than him. The thing about NBA players, and especially guys that are that talented, we all believe we're the best. We all believe what we bring to the table is special and unique, and he has every right to think so.
And so you do too.
Absolutely.
Back here on First Take with the one and only Shanae Ogunmakay. I mean, you heard what SGA had to say. So here's the question. Who would you rather build your team around? SGA, Luka, or the Ant-Man himself, Anthony Edwards?
No shade to the guys that I'm not picking because those guys are sensational future talents of the NBA, but I'm going to go with Luka. I don't want to be prisoner of the moment. SGA and Ant-Man, they have teams that are constructed well around them. Luka, not necessarily in the ways that he could really compete in the foreseeable future. Maybe upset. We know his individual talents, but that number, 35-point triple-double, fourth straight, leading the NBA in points per game, it's got to be Luka for me. But you know, one thing about today, it's International Women's Day, but we are always inspired by how hard you work too, because we work hard ourselves as ladies. But Stephen A, like, you work hard and you're always where the money resides. What was this dance earlier? What was this dance that you and Kmart had?
No, I'm just saying, I don't know, but you know that guy in the video from social media from years ago, where the money reside, where the money reside. Okay, that's what that was about. That's all that was about. It was nothing more than that, Janae. It was nothing more than that. But let me answer the question real quick that you just answered. I got Luka third on the list. SGA, he can score. He's absolutely sensational. The ball in his hands. I look at Anthony Edwards. I'm looking for him. If it's box office, Luka, he's phenomenal. But the guys around them, do they get better? That's the question. Love you, girl. Thank you so
much. Great job hosting, Stephen A.
You know it, girl.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.